This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host speaking to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. I am the Blue Liner, of course, up on point, of course, and also live to tape herself live from the beautiful city of Centerville, Virginia, in the Commonwealth of Same, the one and only mermaid Anna Knox.
Another happy Sunday, Gil.
Made happier by the fact that the Caps played how many games and won how many of them?
Exactly. 3-3-3-3-3.
And you certainly like your threes, and that's how many wins they came by. So, let's just go ahead and jump into it because, of course, as we're recording this, it is our usual Sunday evening slot around 5 Eastern, and we have the game later tonight. At Cap 1, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Penguins, the dreaded flightless birds that we love so much. So we're going to run through the games real quick. Got a couple three things I'd like to mention as well afterwards. So the first of the three was this past Monday night, 5-3 win against the Buffalo Sabres. Now, just want to say a couple things about this. Not going to completely draw a line about this game, but I don't think the Sabres are going to be as easy and out as was thought, at least from past years anyway. They are definitely a team that is improving. Yeah. Maybe not playoff caliber improving, but they're really not a team to be taken lightly anymore, at least from my standpoint, not really anyway. They've gotten really, really a lot better, much more competitive under the coaching of Don Granato. And if you know that last name, should be familiar, of course, brother of Cammy Granato and Tony Granato, both great players in their own right. So it was a 5-3 win. Tommy, of course, leading the scoring, and Connor McMichael getting his second, Captain getting his 11th. I think this was the one where he tied Hull.
Right.
Let's see. So Tommy ended up getting the game winner, making it 4-2, his third of the year. So he naturally earned the number one star of the game. Quick run through the vitals, 30 shots on goal for the good guys. Power play was 1-for-3, out hit 20-11. So all you really need to know about that game, it's a typical Caps game against an outmatched opponent, but they're not going away. They fought back. They gave it a pretty good effort.
So, I think so too. I'm not counting them out for sure. No way.
Definitely not. They got a lot of. They're building a solid core there. Tage Thompson, Cody Eakin, former Cap, got one. They're making some moves to get better. Maybe not right away, but for the long term. So I think they are where the Devils were 2 years ago. That's your measuring stick. So if you're thinking for the future, you're thinking the Sabres game is going to be an easy one for the win column, don't. And I'll leave it at that.
Right.
Okay. So that was the first of the three. And then it was on to the quick Michigan and Ohio road trip. And this was probably, even though the third game was action packed and exciting to watch, this one, as kind of bogged down and boring as it got sometimes, this one was probably my favorite game of the week for the end result. The 2-0 win in Detroit, of course, getting the revenge for the overtime loss. And Orlov and Eller with the goals. The Tiger, of course, with his first of the year, finally getting on the scoreboard.
So needed.
So very needed. And let me tell you something. I don't care if he goes into this long slump. To me, Lars Eller, if I owned a bar, if he walked into it, said, "Give me a drink," I would say, "Yes, sir, on the house. You drink for free here, sir," because of the fact that he brought the Stanley Cup to Washington, and you know what I mean.
I feel the same way about Tommy. I mean, people are like, goal. "Oh, when's he gonna score? When's he gonna score?"
We've talked about Tommy, and I don't think again he's another one I'm not worried about. And he started the year with, what was it, 8 assists.
Exactly. And
we talked about what he does. He makes things happen out there with his skill set. He creates room and he makes the play. It doesn't start with unless he does what he does. So he's another one I'm not worried about. So
nope.
You know, I think too many of our fans look at the score sheet and they see who's doing what and who's not on there, and they get a little too preoccupied with that. And I think it's just not, you know,
necessary.
It's not necessary to do that, and it's not really representative of how they're playing. And I'm thinking that's why maybe in a few weeks, I think what we ought to do is bring back our buddy Blake from the Chirpin' DMV podcast on to do another round of advanced stats. And because, you know, I think, you know, some of our fans need, you know, a little more education, because I think the advanced stats will really be what tells the story,
right,
of who's really playing well and who's not. So
absolutely.
I think we need another round of that. But anyway, so getting back to this game, of course, you know, Orlov opened the scoring, and that turned out to be the game winner. Of course, Kuznetsov with his he's another one playing gangbusters with his 12th assist of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. And check out Nick Jensen with an assist on Eller's goal. If not for him, that play probably wouldn't have even happened at all. If you think about it, so Nick Jensen, probably the this year's unsung hero so far. But the real story, of course, is the guy who was called in to play his first, not only start his first NHL game, but win it in a shutout. How about this? You get called up. It's your first ever NHL game. You toil in the minors and in junior hockey for 7 years, 7, 8, 9 years mm-hmm. of your life. And you get this one chance, you get the moment and you make the most of it. And I can't think of a better story, at least so far anyway, other than Ovi's chasing the goal record. But
this was awesome.
This was beyond awesome. 21 shots and he got them all.
Yep.
Every one of them. And some of them were high danger, quick reaction, reflex action chances that he had to get. And you saw the game. It was a low scoring defensive battle. So he had to be on top of everything. And he was.
He was.
You know, they say luck is sometimes the definition of opportunity meeting preparedness. Zach Fucali had both.
Oh my God. Well, and I will say, just on a sidebar, just to say, one of our loyal listeners, Troy Ryder, sent me a message today on Instagram and just had nothing but praise. And I can't call, you know, he's not a kid, but he said the goalie presence, like he was relaxed, he looked good. Troy Gesetti felt great the whole game with them between the pipes. And I thought, you know what? Awesome. And it's just, it's such a great story. I mean, like, just come on. Like, he seems like such a good guy. He has just this good vibe about him. His wife is pregnant. They're expecting a baby boy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cause I wanted to like know a little bit more. You know, sometimes it's, you know, same thing, you know, you learn little tidbits about like LaPierre and, you know, other players and stuff. But I really was like, this, I can't want to call him a kid. He's not a kid. God, he was awesome. And the celebration in the locker room and it was good on him for, I mean, everything was just spot on. And then he wrote, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram or any of the other cap sites and stuff, but he wrote a very humble, very just heartfelt, but message, you know, just to say, hey, thank you. Like this has been, I've been waiting for this moment forever. And I don't take, you know, moments like that where you're like, oh, this person was waiting so long. And this person worked their ass off their whole life. And I'm sure the parents are like, oh my God, 4 a.m. hockey practice and games and this and that. And he acknowledged everybody, was so grateful, was so humbled. And that's, to me, is when I can do nothing but appreciate his sportsmanship and him as an athlete that much more. You take the time to thank the people who got you where you are, and you're not some cocky, you know, asshole out there being like, you know, boom, see that, you know, kind of thing. And I appreciate that. And I think he's just, I hope we talk so much more about him and in upcoming episodes. But I know that was a topic you want to talk about later, so sorry.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And always the good guys are the ones that are like, well, hey, who, me? I can't believe I'm in the spotlight, but this is an opportunity I'm going to make the most of. And yeah, you just get that vibe about him. And the post-game interview where they had him, NBC Washington had him, he was at a loss for words. He couldn't realize what he'd done and the moment that he was in, and it still hadn't sunk in. It was like, you could see the look on his face that he felt like he was living the dream. And it, I think we really need to see more of that in hockey, where the joy of just making it and living your dream and doing your absolute best, and just the unbridled joy on his face and in his words, and that he just he was trying to get out and couldn't quite describe, but you could just see it. You could just see it in his eyes.
I have his Instagram post, and I'm not going to read all of it because it is a little lengthy, but I will say this will make you appreciate him that much more. He says, now that the dust has settled, I can take some time to reflect, and all I can say is thank you. Man, this is a long, grueling, tough road. Thank you to everyone who believed in me when I didn't. Takes a team, a village even, and I wasn't alone in this. And he goes to thank his family. And then I think what people can really relate to, it says, also, I thought for people who thought I couldn't do it, people who wrote me off early, who said things that stuck in my head, and for some negativity, thank you for fueling me in my lowest times. You know, like a big old, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of like, hey, remember when you said that? Yeah, F you, look at you now. I got first NHL start and a shutout, so screw you all. But he's just been like, thanks for your overwhelming support in the last few days. I'm excited to keep on going. What a night. Cheers to the next. And then he signs off and says, guess what? It's back to work.
Well,
I love it.
That shows the kind of character that he's got. He's appreciative of the moment, but yeah, he's also knowing there's, you know, the it doesn't end here. And yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm hoping we see a lot more of him, hopefully in you know, red, white, and blue, and not some other set of colors.
Right.
But, you know, more on that later on. But, you know, I saw a glimpse of potential in him. I liked what I saw of him in the preseason, even though he only played like two periods. I liked what I saw in him.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of fire. I saw a lot of competitiveness in him. And I thought, if this guy gets a chance, he's going to make the most of it. And he did. I think if they give him a chance, they're going to like what they see. So I'm just hoping that somehow, some way, you know, he gets back and earns that chance, but we're just going to have to see.
Yeah.
So, thanks Anna for, rolling that out. You know what? Yeah. I was just going to say, why don't you go ahead and post that on the Facebook page so everybody can see that.
Perfect.
Since, you're the Instagrammer between us. So that everybody can see the whole thing. Cause yeah, I think I kind of saw that in passing. I was like, yeah, that sounds like him. So, now not to diminish what he accomplished, but, this kind of defined how the game went in that I really think, but this is also kind of a testament to his character. I think there was something about him, I think, that rubbed off on the team. And the thing that's making me say that is this one stat, the block shots, 15 of them, 15. Yeah. That means that the Red Wings got 21 shots on goal, 15 times on top of that. They tried to get it on goal and somebody in red, white, and blue got in the way and prevented that. And that kind of loyalty, that kind of dedication, you know, I don't think that was, oh God, this guy's a rookie. We need to help him out. I think it was, you know what? I'm going to help him out because he's on my team and he's doing his job. I think that is what it was all about there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that game, not just for Zach's effort, but the overall team effort. I think that game defined the week that was the week on the ice. It was an all around great game. I think probably one of the best games they played so far this year. Which leads to the first back to back, which was the very next night in Columbus, Ohio, against the CBJ, the dreaded Blue Jackets. This one, I kind of want to draw a line through it because, I mean, it started out great, but it also kind of deteriorated. Your top line drew even. They gave up the first goal. The top line drew even. Ovechkin, of course, breaking into fourth place solo with his 12th, Kuzi and Tommy on the assists on that one. Mm-hmm. And of course the famous, you know, I want to call it the Three Amigos picture where Ovechkin's got the puck and he's flanked by his line mates. Which is going to be kind of a big question if and when Backstrom comes back, they're going to play that. So, now, another reason is I kind of pulled kitchen duty this night, so I didn't actually get to see what was going on. Garnet Hathaway then took over in the second period. He got his first and second goals about 7 minutes apart, and that made it 3-1. So what does that tell you? Don't count him out either. And I know this is going to upset you, Anna, but it's kind of got me in a bit of a singing mood.
Oh.
He hath a way to score it, Garney. He hath the way to score it, Garney. And my co-host has gone dead silent on me, which means I need to stop that.
I save the singing for when Jenny co-hosts.
Oh, of course. Of course, when you're a million miles away. Anyway, but moving on, and this is, boy, this is where we're going to roll into our goalie debate in a few minutes. But the Jackets came back 22 seconds apart, second and third goals to tie it up in the middle of the period. And then it turned into a dogfight after that. Yeah, and I don't know. I guess the big debate is it the defense? Is it the goalies? That's the big debate on top of Vanny versus Sammy. But like I said, more on that in a second. Now, fortunately, in the third, with time dwindling, and we had not fortunately gotten quite into the magical minute.
I seriously wish that they would change that.
Well,
I don't know what they just.
Here's the downside.
So many levels.
Here's the downside of having a sponsor. Money talks and everything else walks.
Of course. But of like course. The McNugget minute just sounds. It doesn't make me want to go and have McNuggets.
Not really.
That's for sure. Not even really. As much as I love Joe B, it does not make me want to go and be like, oh, yeah. I fingers crossed they score. Like, I want them to score. I don't need, you know, six-piece mystery meat to.
As
a reward. And,
but it's. I'm glad you mentioned Joe B because, of course, today, of course, is.
It's his birthday.
It's his birthday. And awesome. Yeah, but I think you're right though. I think that's the chicken McNuggets are not quite the biscuit in the basket that he wants to talk about. And even though if you're really hungry, it's probably not the stuff attempt you want to make.
No, maybe when I was in college, but not now.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Joe B. Thanks for putting up with everything. But thankfully, Connor Sherry, just before that so-called minute came up, 18:38 in the third to be exact, put away the wrister. Orlov and Jensen with the assists on that one. A surprise goal. I jumped for joy when I saw that one because I really think Sherry's one of those underrated guys. And this goal also put me kind of in a singing mood.
Oh.
He got the way to win it, Sherry. Oh, come on. You don't like Neil Diamond?
I like Sweet Caroline, and that is the extent of my Neil Diamond.
All right. I'll give you that. I'm fine. All right. So three stars of the game. Okay. I don't know who did this, but somebody goofed. Garnet Hathaway wears number 21, not number 24. Somebody goofed big time in making Connor McMichael the first star of the game. Connor McMichael did not have a bad game. He did not have a number one star type of game.
No.
Sorry, but no, that was deserving of Mr. Garnet Hathaway for the number one star. So shame on whoever the hell it was that goofed that much, but yeah, be better next time is my message to that. Okay, so
you
that's
had one job.
Yeah, exactly. You had one job. Name the number one star and you F that up.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Done.
Seriously. And it's people. Usually a member of the press that does that. So I'm really wondering. But anyway. So that was the week that was on the ice. Now I mentioned this a couple times before. I don't want to gloss over it, but I don't want to get too deep a dive because I think we ought to wait till this upcoming road trip passes. We get more games under our belt here. But it seems that amongst some Caps fans, there is the brewings of a goalie controversy. And in one corner, you got Vitek Vanacek, who probably of the two candidates, him and Samsonov, probably is the more solid performer, but seems to have a problem closing out games. And the other candidate, of course, Ilya Samsonov, seems to not look as good, but also has the one shutout between these two guys and mm-hmm. has a decent winning record, has not lost mm-hmm. in regulation. So what do you do here is the debate. Who would you rather have? You know,
right.
Vitek Van or Sam I Am is that question. So
God, how long have you been sitting on that one?
All of 15 seconds.
I doubt that.
I literally just thought of that.
I feel okay. Like you probably like wrote it down like, I gotta say this. Okay.
Anyway, I want you out there listening through the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. I want you out there listening to think about that question and contact us however you can with your opinion. In fact, mm-hmm. if I can remember it, I would like to post a poll on our Facebook page because several other Facebook pages we've posted to have taken upon themselves to pick one or the other or say that, well, maybe we ought to get another goalie, or maybe we found our goalie in Fukali or something. But there's a clear dissatisfaction of the goalkeeping chores. And while I don't think it's unfounded, I think everybody's screaming a little too loudly about it for my liking.
True.
In that, you know, if you look at the bottom line, it's not as bad as you think. That's the point I'm trying to make. So something to think about for next week. Okay. So another topic I wanted to cover real quick here while we got a little bit of time.
Wait, you're not going to talk about Ovechkin?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a story that lasts for the length of the year. But yeah, obviously in the CBJ game, he got the, well, hold on. Let me look it up. Was it the game winner? Let's see who got, oh no, Sherry got the game winner, of course. But yes, of course, Ovechkin got his 742nd goal, which I mentioned this. He earned fourth place overall. All by himself, and of course was congratulated over the internet by the Golden Brett, and
I thought was very cool. I mean, I know it's all these pre-recorded things, but I appreciate that. But I thought that was just like fantastic, because I know there was a poll that was like, would you rather see him get it there or at home versus the Penguins? I'm like, just wanted to get it, you know, and not again. Not have it be the focus of the entire team. But still, this is, we've said it before, history in the making, and is fucking fantastic to watch. And just so you know, I'm posting the who's your pick for the goalie on our site right now.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Very cool. So, that'll be, I think that we're going to leave up for the entirety of the week, let everybody judge. But I want our listeners especially to pay very, very close attention to how they play. Not just how many goals they give up or who wins, but how they mm-hmm. play overall, I think is the most important. Now, getting back to Ovechkin a little bit, I forget who it was, but I saw a tweet that was a very astute observation. Mm-hmm. I think, okay, so he's at 12 goals this year. Mm-hmm. I think out of all of them, maybe one or two of them were his patented one-timer shots from the left circle.
Okay.
What does that tell you? It tells me that the man is a born goal scorer and he's not a one-dimensional guy. I keep trying to make this case, and there are these constant haters that are like, well, he doesn't pass. He's just a goal scorer. He doesn't do anything else. He just stands there. Yeah, I'm sick of it too. So,
I'm just
600 plus assists. What does that tell you? That
he can find
people too.
Exactly. I can't. I'm over that. Like people who are just now watching. I was just like, shut the fuck up.
I pole vaulted over that years ago. All the haters who don't.
Well, that's a visual. Pole vaulting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You said all right. I was just going through.
Well, yeah, you're just going with it. I know. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. So, I started getting into this, so let's make mention. Of course, tonight is the home game with the Penguins, and it's Caps Fight Cancer Night. Yes. Of course, the entire month of November, the NHL dedicates to it's Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and it dedicates itself to all of the cancer charities. So if you catch the game early enough, you'll see the Caps with the lavender Hockey Fights Cancer warm-up jerseys, which of course will be auctioned off. There's a link to the website where that will take place. I'll try to see if I can remember posting it in the notes of this episode. But just wanted to draw attention to that. Cancer, you know, we say it every year and it doesn't diminish the meaning. But cancer, of course, is a horrible, horrible disease, and humankind should not rest until it's eradicated from the planet, because it's happened to have taken away a lot of good people, and yep. not the most recent of which, of course, being your mom, Anna, and mm-hmm. And I've lost family members to it as well, family and friends, as we both have. So that's why this is going to continue to be a thing. So as I mentioned, I'm going to post all of the appropriate links to Caps Fight Cancer and the jersey auction and everything like that. I want to spend though a couple minutes talking about probably the best example, one of the best examples I've ever seen of turning a bad into a good. Mm-hmm. And that's of course, what Linda Loughlin went through. Linda Loughlin, of course, the wife of the one and only Locker 18, Craig Loughlin, our TV analyst alongside Joe B. And I was touched by, I was kind of reading over the her story again in several articles online, and I was touched by something she said. I'll paraphrase. She wasn't really comfortable or didn't want to necessarily be known or put in the spotlight just for having cancer. Mm-hmm. was kind of what she said. And Mrs. Loughlin is by her own nature, you know, not one to seek the spotlight anyway. She's very, very humble, very, very private person, very happy to let Craig take the spotlight, you know, as is often the case, as he should, because he's the one, making the flash and making the Caps look good with what he does. But I think Linda herself does deserve a little time in the spotlight. And of course, not just because she has cancer or had cancer, she is cancer free, thank goodness. as of a few years ago. But because of the foundation she created, the Lachlan Family Foundation, she had a rare form of cancer. So rare that I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because I know I'm going to mess it up. But she had a rare form of uterine cancer, I think it was. And thankfully, she survived because of early detection. Well, she decided to take that experience and turn it into a positive in that, well, what about others that have rare forms of cancer that maybe don't have the chance, the opportunity, the resources to have it detected early or have it diagnosed and properly treated, you know, just because, you know, it's not, you know, something that grabs the attention like, you know, breast cancer or, you know, with the Susan G. Komen Foundation and all mm-hmm. that. So it's not something that, you know, draws a lot of eyes. You know, it's because it just doesn't happen a whole lot, but it doesn't mean that the person who has it is any less afflicted, any less sick with it, any less in need of treatment. So she decided to create this foundation, and it was you that attended the first ever dinner for it.
Yes.
Was it a couple years ago, was it?
Yeah, two years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's grown by leaps and bounds into a movement. Now, it's in the grand scheme of things, yes, we're only talking about maybe 100,000 people that end up with these rare forms of cancer. But again, they're no less in need than anyone else with the other forms of cancer that, you know, have the numbers that back them up.
Right.
So I just wanted to say, you know, pay some lip service to that. Do what little we can to, you know, thank Linda Lachlan for what she's done. And speaking of links, I'm going to post the Lachlan Family Foundation link, because they're a charity that's still going strong. So just to say to Linda Lachlan, well, you're not in the spotlight just because you have cancer. You are deserving of the spotlight because you have created something that will hopefully go on to save hundreds of thousands of lives or more in the years right. and generations to come. And that is the stuff of a hero. That is what makes a hero, at least to me. So in this month of November, as we also have recently celebrated our veterans, let's also celebrate those who turn a bad into a good and do what they can for the community, especially to save lives. So, Ms. Linda Lachlan, we salute you here at the Power Play Point Podcast. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Locker, for all you do in supporting her.
100%.
Yeah, just wanted to say all that. This being that time of year again. So, because again, cancer is too big an evil to ignore at times. So,
absolutely. It's just a fucking beast.
Yeah. Yeah. Too many good people have been taken away. So we can't give up the fight. Okay. All right. So quick rundown of coming attractions, and then I think we'll wrap it up. Of course, tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap 1 against Pittsburgh. And then the Caps go on a pretty long West Coast road trip. That's a West Coast of the U.S., that is. 10 o'clock puck drop against the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday, and then it's a back-to-back. They go across the street to the Staples Center to play the LA Kings, 10:30 puck drop there, 2 days off, and then it's the weekend. It's a weekend back-to-back going up the Highway 101 to play the San Jose Sharks, 10:30 puck drop there. And then it's another Sunday night tilt So this one, we won't be rushed too much because it's a 9 o'clock start over at the brand spanking new Climate Pledge Arena against the Seattle Kraken.
Release them to be doing all. Yeah.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah. Whatever.
Because they, they have rights too. You know?
Of course they do. According whomever. Yeah, this week's going to kind of suck, though, because I cannot stay up for those West Coast games. It's brutal.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm going to do my best. Sometimes I don't do so well with them either, but I'm going to do my best to catch those.
But they'll be good, though, because they all have very similar records. And again, can't count anybody out. So.
Yeah, this is going to be the first extended road trip for them this year. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how they bond and how they, you know, how they come together as a team. That's going to be the first probably test of their character, test of adversity. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they react to being on the road for pretty much a whole week.
Yeah. They usually, I'm usually really hate this time of year. Like, I hate the West Coast, but that's okay. Like, hate when the Caps play. Don't hate the West Coast because that's my hometown. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens when we chat this time next week.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a lot similar to what happened this week.
Right. Absolutely.
And because I think, you know, at times they play plays a little bit questionable, but, you know, then they seem to get it back. And like you and I often mention, look, you know, they can put together a 60-minute game. More often than not, they're gonna come out on top. So right. I'm still not too worried.
No. I'm not either. And I would say, just with this, I would see at least two of the three games a win for the Caps. Not sure who I think the L would be, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. It's still a work in progress, and, you know, no sense bailing or making too soon a judgment. So, all right. So I think this is a good place to stop for the week. We will be getting back with you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. But again, a reminder to you, watch the goalies and how they play. Want to hear from our loyal listeners what your overall evaluation is, because I think we have the most knowledgeable listeners and fans. So, I'm interested in your opinion on that. So, okay. So for the Mermaid Ananox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that when you get to your job, thing you need to do, run and hide. You know why? Good employees are hard to find.
All right. Never mind.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Like, who's listening to that and then, like, literally, like, spitting out their drink in laughter? Like, I need to know who is that. They're like, ah, that was hilarious. Because what am I missing out on? Because I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't.